Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Beautiful Savior, living Word, oh Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesús, nombre más alto, hermoso Salvador, bello Señor, Dios con nosotros, el Verbo viva, mi Redentor. Jesús, nombre más alto, hermoso Salvador, bello Señor. Dios con nosotros, el Verbo viva, mi Redentor. Once again, oh Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel. God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, blessed Redeemer, living Word, blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All glory, all honor, all power, all praise is due to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The only name given among men. Amen. Whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. He's worthy. 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 Amen. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Well, thank you tonight for being here. Amen. It's good to hear that song that Sister Stevens owns tonight. A lot of people sing that song, but that's Sister Stevens' song. That'll always be her song. I like to sing that song, but I don't sing it like Sister Stevens does. That's her song. I'll never hear it but when I think about Sister Stevens. Amen. Good to see her daughter and granddaughter with her here tonight. God bless y'all. See you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All of our guests, thank you. Thank you for being here. Right after the service, I do want to talk with you a few moments about some ministry opportunities. So if you can tarry a little bit, Now, I don't care how many meetings we have, it should never interfere with the altar. Amen. This is our first priority right here. When we preach the Word of God and there's a response, this is the most important thing. We can always do business later. So we're never going to rush to the altar. Amen. So if we have a great altar service and it lasts 3 hours, it lasts 3 hours. Amen. We'll always eat warmed over, amen, chicken spaghetti when we get through. Amen. But the altar's always primary. All the preaching, this is what it's about right here. It's about the altar. Amen. It's about an opportunity to respond to God when He talks to us. Now, we will have a meeting, but this is the most vital thing, first and primary. So, praise the Lord. I never want to let business get ahead of the spiritual work of the church. It's important, but this is the primary. Amen. We're going to the book of Hebrews tonight. I heard about a couple one time. They were having an argument. The wife said, I always have to make the coffee and it's your job. And he says, where do you get that? She said, I get it right out of the Bible. She said, what do you mean? He said, I read it the other day. It said Hebrews. Now that's stretching it, folks. That's really stretching it. Some people stretch it sometimes to prove a point, and that's what she was doing. Amen. But Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let's begin reading with verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. I want to preach tonight on these beautiful words, grace and mercy. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. The word grace is found in the Old Testament 40 times. In the New Testament 130 times. For a total of 170 times in the Bible. Grace has been defined by some as unmerited favor, by others as divine enablement. Grace is to receive that which we do not deserve. Grace allows a holy God to reach out to an unholy man. Mercy is used in the Old Testament 216 times. In the New Testament, 60 times. For a total of 276 times in the Bible. Mercy is the fountainhead, the origin of forgiveness. It is manifest when we do not get what we do deserve. Mercy allows a sinful man to reach out to a holy God. Grace and mercy are a dynamic duo and an irresistible force for the purpose of restoration and victory. Thank God for grace and mercy tonight. Let's give Him praise, shall we? Thank God for grace and mercy tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was one of Paul's favorite words. I suppose he used it more than anybody. He was always using the word grace. He wrote it to Timothy in his letter, his first letter. He said, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 2 Timothy, he did it again. He said, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace." And then to Titus, his other son in the gospel, he said, "To Timothy, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace." Amen. John picked up the theme in 2 John in verse 3 when he said, "Grace be with you, mercy, and peace." I can't think of a better greeting tonight. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. They're combined 13 times in the New Testament, or once in the Old Testament, 12 times in the New Testament. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Amen. It's a beautiful theme. It comes straight and directly from the very heart of God. They're His gifts, His magnanimous gifts to you and I. Grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. I cannot even imagine what Lot felt that day. I remember, you remember, the horrific scene of 9/11. None of us will ever forget as we saw pictures of those planes that crashed into the Twin Towers and the billowing smoke and the crumbling of the buildings and all that went on that day is forever etched into our memories. Well, I'll never ever forget that hollowness, that emptiness, that ache that was inside of me. That didn't stop with a day or a week. It went on for a very long time. Just to see the devastation of almost 3,000 people that were murdered that day. We'll never forget that. And it was the talk of the nation, of the world, for weeks and for months. And yet today, it marked a change in the history of the United States, and we'll never be the same again, ever, after that one fateful day. But can you imagine a man that witnessed the destruction, not of only 3,000 people, but perhaps 200,000 people. When he literally watched God as he rained fire and brimstone down on the city until he watched an entire massive city covered in the judgment of God. And he heard the fateful screams of people as they screamed out their last words and their curses before the end of the face of God. And it staggered him. No man beside Noah had ever seen anything quite like that. And as he walked out of the city with his little wife and his two daughters, and that was all that was left of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then to suddenly his wife turned around and headed back to the city. And there she crumbled to the ground as a pillar of salt. And to watch the devastation. You can imagine how Lot felt. You can imagine the emptiness on the inside of him. The agony that he was going through. The images that forever etched into his mind. And the sounds that would never leave his ears. And what memories that was. And so he was staggering out of the city with his two daughters in his hands. And clinging on to that solidity, that little sanity that he had. And he made his way out of the city and angels were ushering them quickly away from that vast destruction. And they tell him, hurry, run to the mountains. And he doesn't feel like he can make it. He says, I can't go that far. He was overwhelmed. I can understand that today. I can only imagine how he felt after all that he had witnessed that day. But his words were these from the book of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 19. After seeing all that he saw, he said, "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed me in the saving of my life." Amen. He understood something. He wasn't mad at God. He wasn't upset. He understood what was going on. He realized that God had given opportunity and chance to so many. And finally, the judgment that he spoke of fell upon a society that would not turn and would not repent. Amen. It would be good for us to remember tonight that there's such a day that's ahead of us, and perhaps not very long, that God is going to say, "My mercy has reached its limit, and the cup of the iniquities of the world is full." Amen. I've heard people say times like Katrina, that was the wrath of God. No, that was not the wrath of God. That was simply a natural event. When you see the wrath of God, you'll never forget it. That wasn't the judgment of God. 9/11 was not the judgment of God. That was the insanity of terrorists. That was the acts of madmen. But it wasn't the judgment of God. Sodom and Gomorrah, that was the judgment of God. The closing of the door of the ark, that was the judgment of God. When mercy has reached its limit and God closes the door and closes ears to prayer, that's the judgment of God. The Bible said that it's without remedy. Judgment of God. Perhaps the greatest revival that's ever happened on planet Earth was in a heathen city called Nineveh. God sent a reluctant prophet to preach a reluctant message to people. And they heard the message of God. And what a message it was. It was merely a message of judgment. God said, through Noah, he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish." There was no message of hope. There was no message of redemption. There was none of that. That was it. Nineveh shall perish. And the Bible said the king heard the message. And his advisors heard the message. And the people heard the message. And the king declared that we're going to fast. And we're going to wear sackcloth. And we're going to pray. And maybe God will turn away His wrath from us. And the entire nation, the Bible says they muzzled the animals. The cows couldn't eat. And the horses couldn't eat. And the animals couldn't eat. And all the people fasted. And they humbled themselves. And they prayed. And God had mercy. And God had mercy. Let me tell you something. God's option, His first option, is always mercy. God always wants to have mercy. If you allow God, He will always have mercy. And so, that is God's will. And Noah, I'm sorry, Lot saw the judgment of God. And yet, upon himself, he saw the mercy and the grace of God. God can say, the Bible says, God knows how to deliver the godly. God knows how to preserve the godly. I don't know what we're headed for. A lot of what I read right now from the secular world says, and it's not, they're not biblical scholars, they're not looking at it from a spiritual perspective, but over and over and over we read about financial collapse, and we read about all kinds of trouble that's coming upon the world, and shortage of food, and famine, and all kinds of things. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I don't know. I don't know what's coming. I know that at some point in time, judgment's coming. I know that at some point in time, the revelation is going to be fulfilled. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I do know that it's coming. And that may be coming very soon. It appears that it's coming very soon. Unless there are some drastic changes in the next few months, we're on the brink. We're on the brink. And we're right there. And unless, in just a few months' time, we can turn this thing around, then yes, we're headed for some dire times in life as we have known it in the United States of America. It's not going to be that way anymore. Amen. We might as well understand that. Praise God. We might as well prepare ourselves for that. We might as well start getting our thinking prepared for that. Amen. Now, Brother Grissom, that sounds real negative to me. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible said that where sin does abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean that you sin more so you can get more grace. That means that when there is more sin, you can rise above it like an ark in the water. Amen. The ark that sunk the world saved Noah and his family because grace was with him. Matter of fact, the first time the word grace appears in the Bible, it said, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace will save us when nothing else can save us. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for the judgment of God. I'm looking for the grace of God. Hallelujah. In the Apostle Paul's terrible torment, God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. Paul was praying for relief. Paul was praying for deliverance. Paul was praying for healing. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And it was enough. Paul didn't pray for healing anymore. He said, oh, I'll take that. Hallelujah. I knew a man, or heard a man at our general conference years ago that endured impossible things. He was behind the Iron Curtain during the great persecutions. For the fall of the Soviet Union. He was in prison much of the time. I remember the story that he told when he spoke about some soldiers came into his cell one night and found him in prayer, and they literally beat him down to the floor, and they kicked him in the stomach and jumped on him and left him lying there in such horrible and horrific pain. The next morning they ousted him from his cell and took him out into the fields to work. And he was in such pain. He said that there was a horrific smell that was rising up out of his body. And he knew that his insides had burst from the kicking and the stomping that he received. He was in a horrific, horrific pain. And he could barely move, and yet he was in the field to work. And he said to God, he said, God, he said, I read about how when Naaman stepped into the waters of the Jordan, that you cleansed him of his leprosy. He said, God, I'm going to step into this little water over here, and would you please heal me? And he said he stepped into that water, and whatever it was, it all healed in just an instant. And the horrible stench went away. All of the pain went away. And God instantly and miraculously healed his body. Amen. And he told stories like that and all the horrific things he went through. And I'll never, ever forget this as long as I live. He said, those were the greatest days of my life. He said, I never felt the presence and the power and saw the grace of God like I did in those times. Amen. Yes, I want you to know something tonight, folks. When there's more need, God does more miracles. Because need is the raw material that God makes miracles from. And great need is the raw material of a great miracle. So if you have a great need tonight, don't despair. Just hold on. Believe God that grace is going to come on the scene. And you're going to get through that with an outstanding and a marvelous testimony of how God brought you through. Amen. Grace. 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 Amen. And mercy. And mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is the, as I said before, it's the father or the origin or the source that forgiveness flows from. Without mercy, there would be no forgiveness. Mercy is the gift of God that allows us to come to God in repentance and in prayer. And that allows God by grace to respond to us. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Mercy, it's whenever God doesn't strike us. There were times in my life, my parents were very, very wise people. My dad was a very wise man. And there were times that I really, really deserved to be corrected. We didn't say spanking in those days. We said whipping. Amen. If you just had spankings in your life, you don't know nothing. It was whippings that hurt. We got whippings at our house. Well, not really. We got whoopings. Whippings were for sissies. Whoopings were for real men. I'll never forget my mom and dad said, do you want a whooping? Well, yes, please. Pour it on. But she didn't dare say that. Because they would. I got a few. Not many. I'm a quick learner. Amen. I was not a hard head. Amen. I learned real quick. Amen. It didn't take me much. Praise the Lord. But I remember I got in trouble at school for doing something that I shouldn't have done. I really didn't mean to get in trouble. Just I got carried away having fun. Did you ever do anything like that? We were just having fun. We just got carried away, and we went a little too far, and we got caught. Janitor got a hold of us and drug us to the principal's office. Boy, we got a lashing there. But that wasn't the bad thing. I can handle getting chewed out. Amen. Amen. It's like the guy said, I used to work at the bubblegum factory. He said, I fell in to one of those vats. He said, it was all right because my boss chewed me out. So I can handle the chewing out. That's not the problem. But the principal wrote a letter to my dad. And he sealed it. And he said, now you have your father sign this and you bring it back to me tomorrow. Now normally I didn't like the bus because we were the last ones off of the bus. It was a long old bus ride. And so I usually was in such a hurry to get home. And it seemed like that bus ride just was forever. Couldn't wait to get off. But that day, I just wish it would have kept on going. I got home and my dad wasn't there. And I got a reprieve. Amen. But I had this dread all afternoon. And I put it off as long as I could. And I finally gave him the letter. I said, Dad, I said, I got in trouble at school today. The principal told me to give this to you. And I did. I gave it to my dad. He opened it. And I thought, oh boy, here it is. It's been a nice life. I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And he read it. Didn't say anything. Didn't say anything. Didn't do anything. Finally, I just walked off and he didn't stop me. The next morning, he didn't say anything. He handed me the envelope and he said, you just take this back to the principal. Well, it was open now. And so when I got on the bus, I read it. And I didn't know what in the world to expect. I read what the principal said, and then I read what my dad said. And all he said was this. To the principal, he said, remember, you were a boy one time. And he signed it. And that's all that he did. And when I read that, I wept. Because I understood that my father understood me. He knew who I was. He respected me. He had confidence in me. And he knew that I had already received more punishment than any whipping could have given me. And I didn't need any more. I had already been chastised. He knew that. And I'll never forget how I felt, how mercy felt. That was mercy. I deserved a thrashing. I mean, I deserved a thumping. I deserved a whooping. But I didn't get one. Mercy. Mercy. Understanding and mercy. I should have. By all means and all rights, I should have. But I didn't. Because, and it did me more good. You know, I can't even tell you about the whippings I got, but I'll never forget that. Not the longest day I live, I'll never forget when my dad had mercy on me. That wasn't the only time, but that's the most memorable time. Amen. I could hold you all night about that, but we had an interesting upbringing here. But mercy, thank God. Amen. When I came to God, I didn't deserve what He gave me. I didn't deserve it, but God had mercy on me. God had mercy on me. I deserved punishment, but God had mercy. And He relieved me of my sin. And He washed away my sin. And He erased my guilt. And He took away my shame. And He filled me with a peace that literally passes understanding. God gave me mercy. I didn't deserve that. God gave it to me. Amen. And I hasten tonight to Hebrews 4 where we started. He said, seeing then what we have a great high priest. Everybody say, a great high priest. Now the high priest he was the only one that was allowed by God to go into the tabernacle and pass the veil and with the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat to confess the sins of Israel on one day, the Day of Atonement. That was the only time anybody was ever allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and stand before the mercy seat of God. But he was allowed to do that. Just one man, one day. And he got to do that until he passed on and another one would be elected. But the Bible said that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, our high priest is the one that the Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he didn't stop at the mercy seat in the temple of the tabernacle, but he went directly into the heavens. Not only was our high priest, but he's also the only sacrifice that is acceptable for our sins. He offered himself and he offered his blood that was acceptable in the sight of God. The blood of Jesus can still cleanse us from our sins. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Our great high priest that's passed into the heavens. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. You know what I appreciate about God? Brother Holly used to say it like this. And he was such a wise man and great teacher. He said when God created man, he knew man theoretically as a creator. He knew man theoretically. He knew man as a theory. He said, but when God became a man, enrobed himself in a flesh body, the Bible said God was manifest in the flesh. And then man was no longer a theory, but God knew men experientially. He experienced everything that we go through in life. Have you ever been hungry? He's been hungry. Have you ever been thirsty? He's been thirsty. Have you ever been lonely? He's been lonely. Have you ever been hurt and let down and disappointed? He's been let down and disappointed. He's been lonely. Everything that you've experienced in your life, he's walked through that same valley and he has felt that same pain. He knows us. He experienced life. The Bible said that he even was tempted always like as we are, but he never ever gave in. Can you imagine somebody so strong? You know, most of us we take so much. My mom's last words when she left the house, she knew us boys pretty good, and her last words she'd say, now you boys don't be scuffling now. Scuffling. We knew what scuffling was. And she'd barely get out of the driveway. I had an older brother. And in my family, there were 7 kids, and they saved the best to last. At least that's my point of view. But she'd barely be out of the driveway before my older brother would have me over in the corner, and he'd be doing this right here. Come on, sissy. Come on. Come on, fat. Come on, come on. He'd slap me like a, come on, come on. I'd be saying, now, Mom said, don't be scuffling. You leave me alone. Hey, man, I don't want to fight. Come on, sissy. Go ahead, come on. He'd just slap me. And boy, I could only handle so much. And I'd come out like a buzzsaw, swinging every direction, and kicking and snarling and biting with everything that was in me. All the young people and kids, cover your ears. This is not for you. Amen. And after a while, I'd land one. He'd be so laughing so hard he couldn't stand. And I'd land one on him, and I'd make him mad. And then we'd really get into it. Amen. Glorious days. Glorious days. Amen. But Jesus, you know, he was tempted by, like we're tempted, but he never gave in. He stood strong. He stood firm. He never, ever sinned. So because He was sinless and He was perfect, then He could become our sacrifice. And He did. You see, Jesus didn't have to die. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Jesus never had any sin, so He didn't have to die. But He died anyway. Amen. He gave Himself, became subject to death and to the cross, so that He could become our acceptable sacrifice and our Savior. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible said He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities and tempted in all points like as we are. And then that next verse it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Did you know there's a place called the throne of grace? And you can get there in prayer. And you can get there in repentance. And you can reach that throne and that king and that kingdom tonight from this altar right here. From right here, your prayers can travel directly to the throne of grace. Amen. And the Bible said that we may obtain mercy. Oh, I need mercy tonight. I need mercy tonight. Oh, I need mercy tonight. How many times have I cried to God for mercy and He heard me? I don't know about you, but I need mercy quite often in my life. Amen. I mess up. I don't do right. I don't say the right thing. I don't do the right thing. I want to, but sometimes I don't. But thank God I can obtain mercy because I know where the throne of grace is. Amen. And then He said, and we can find grace to help in the time of need. Now, I've defined this before, but let me do it again. Amen. You see, mercy is for the fallen. Mercy is when you gave in. Mercy is when you bit the dust. Mercy is when you sinned. Mercy is when you come with the taste of defeat in your mouth and the heaviness and the guilt of your failure on your shoulders. But you come to the throne of grace and you say, God, have mercy. Forgive me again. Thank You for having mercy on my soul. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. Did you hear me? I said that's a promise. God said that. So you can be assured if you come to the throne of grace, you will obtain mercy. And then He said, and we can find grace to help in the time of need. Now grace differs from mercy because grace means you haven't given in yet. You're in the fight and you're in the battle and that it's hot and it's heavy and it's difficult and you're in the struggle, but you're holding on. And yet you're weak and you know, God, I can't make it by myself. I've got to have some strength here. And the Bible said you'll obtain grace there. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. So you get before the throne of grace and you look up and you see the strength of God and the power of God and the glory of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, and grace comes upon you and praise comes upon you, and you begin to worship God, and that grace lifts you up and strengthens you and flows into you and empowers you. You become something you were not before you came to the throne of grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. What great gifts God has given us tonight. Amen. And when God gives you grace, and when God gives you mercy, you'll always have peace. I love peace. I love peace. I don't like trouble. I don't like holding grudges, because I just don't like feeling mad all the time. I like peace. So I do my best to forgive people, even if they ask or not, just because I want the peace that comes with not holding a grudge. I like to just let it go. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just let God take care of it. He will, you know. He's good at it. You know what I like in these words here? He said, listen to this very carefully. He said, therefore, come boldly. That means with great confidence. I'm not talking about with arrogance. I'm not talking about with pride. But I come with the confidence that when I get to the throne of grace, God is going to hear me and God is going to help me. I know that. It's a foregone conclusion that I'm going to get what I need when I get to the throne of grace. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you for listening. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Could I say to somebody here tonight that grace and mercy are waiting for you like shining jewels at this altar? Amen. And you can come and receive them tonight. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're good enough. Not because you're worthy. But because grace said you can have it. And grace makes mercy available to you. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, who wouldn't want mercy? And who would not want grace? Do you have some sin that needs to be covered tonight? The only covering is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's waiting for you at this altar. Would you like to get rid of the load and the burden and the heaviness of your sin? It's waiting for you at this altar tonight. Would you like to turn your troubles into peace? Amen. And your sorrows into joy? It's waiting for you here at this altar tonight. Saint of God, are you battling? Are you fighting? Are you weary? Do you need refreshing? Do you need strength? Do you need renewal? It's waiting for you at this altar tonight. Amen. You can have it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to be streaming down the aisles of this sanctuary tonight to find a place at the throne of grace and meet with the gracious God that says, I will help you. I will come to you in the time of your need. How about it tonight? Amen. Jesus is here. He's calling. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Amen. He wants fellowship. He wants to restore. He wants to remove all of the barriers tonight, all of the obstacles that separate you from His grace. Amen. His acceptance. His fellowship. Hallelujah. Here I am, Jesus. Oh, how I need You tonight, God. How I need You tonight, God. How I need You tonight, God. Oh, I need You tonight, God. I lift my hands. I lift my heart. I lift my life. I need You, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. Oh, more than life itself. I need You, Jesus.
your mercies.
Yes.
And I need your grace. Mercy. I said mercy. Mercy.
No, I'm not gonna let you go. not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid.
No.
Mercy said no. Sin will never take control.
No.
Life and death were face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go.
I'm not gonna let you
slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. God of mercy, can you pass this way? Can you pass this way? Can you pass this way with mercy again? Oh, mercy, everlasting mercy, God.
Satisfied.
to me to have by my side. He said that I could come to his presence without fear, into the holy place where his mercy hovers near. I'm running, I'm running, I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is coming. He said his grace will cover me, his blood will flow freely, it will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. In the darkness, thing is unknown.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I face the power of sin.